recorded May 20, 2006, at the Pacific Unitarian Church in Rancho Palos Verdes, California by Upcycle Media. This was the opening presentation and panel discussion at the South Bay Energy Fair, hosted by the Environmental Priorities Network. It is 1 hour and 28 minutes long. Please feel free to copy and share this file with those that may have an interest in this material. Thank you for listening.
Bay Energy Fair. Our EPN has long been interested in global warming and worried about it. We had a very good public meeting on global warming, and this is a follow-up to it. And I'm so glad to see that all of you care about global warming as well. And here you're going to find out what you can do to lower global warming, save money, and just be happier in general. Without the passionate intensity and hard work of David Dutra, we would not have this fair today. I'd like us to give him applause, although you have to clap really loud because he's way out there helping people. He's just coming in now. Let's give him a hand. Yay, David. He really, really knocked himself out, as many of us did, on this to prepare this for you. And we're so glad you're here now. Others who worked hard on the enormous number of things we had to do and people to contact were Beth Muir, whose mother's ill and she's not here with us, Grace Walters, Ed Hummel. Okay, they all deserve applause. And my husband, our treasurer, Oliver Coker. And the whole board of the Environmental Priorities Network, wonderfully active people, and they have pitched in with the mailing, the planning, and all the jobs that are being done today, and there are a lot of them. Now, I hope everybody received a bag of handouts. If you didn't receive a bag of handouts, go get one, because you'll miss these really great handouts. One is the program today, and this program covers all of our exhibitors. Now, that program is very important. Just save it forever, because it's going to give you who to go to if you need to conserve energy, and you do, and it'll tell you about solar panel installers. If you want to use solar to heat your pool, it'll tell you about energy-saving cars and energy-saving bicycles and scooters and lots of things. It's going to tell you more than you ever wanted to know. So be sure you save your program. Now, I want to just include just tell you a few things that are in that bag besides the program, that all-important program. Our EPN is an activist organization. We are glad you're coming here to sit, but we want you to act as well. And one of the acts that you can carry out is in there. It is to write to Governor you-know-who about the Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006. I bet you never heard of that. But if you read in there, you'll find out all about it. It establishes a cap on global warming pollution statewide. And of course, that we would lead the nation. And you know, the federal government isn't doing much about global warming, so the states have to, and California needs to as well. So you will find a postcard you can just copy. But you know, if you don't want to go to all the trouble to find a postcard, you'll also be able to email him or call him. that he should support AB 32. And then you will find a long list of ways that you can reduce your carbon dioxide emissions and become what they call carbon neutral. Sounds like a disease. But it's two long pages, and I won't expect you to do all of them. Finally, you will find out how to get rebates on appliances and technological retrofits that will reduce energy use, save you money, and help our planet to survive. And now I would like to introduce our first... Oh, before I introduce our first speaker, there is a Japan festival. So if all this talking and wandering around makes you hungry, you can go to this Japan festival and eat nice, fresh Japanese food. It's today from 2 to 5, and it's at the First Lutheran Church in Torrance, and there are flyers probably at the EPN table. Okay. Jan's credentials are impressive. She has a master's degree in urban and regional planning, so that shows she knows really what's going on. She's on the executive committee of the Sierra Club Angeles chapter. As the founder and head of the Air Quality, Global Warming, and Energy Committee, or GWE, is a little shorter, she is working on getting the 114 mayors of the local surrounding cities to sign on to the Seattle Mayor Greg Nickels' Climate Protection Agreement. I'm glad you clapped for that, because that is what our EPN is going to be doing next about global warming. And as a matter of fact, we have a speaker on that subject coming to our June 1st meeting, which is here, you know, June 1st. And we're going to work on getting our local cities to join that commitment. Her committee has also succeeded in getting the MTA to promise to build a light rail corridor line to run from LA to the beach at Santa Monica. Help me to welcome Jan Kidwell.
Thank you, Lillian. That was a wonderful introduction, and you did actually bring up a few of the topics that I wanted to mention. Double thank you, because you reminded me, just in case I might have forgotten, the global warming bill you talked about, for instance. I know that as we in the Sierra Club and our lobbyists in Sacramento know that as the Fran Pavli bill, AB 32, which is currently in the state Senate for discussion. Later on, maybe, I don't know if it's going to be weeks or months, we will be putting out an email alert for people to write their assemblymen and their state senators to support AB 32. So that's the one that Lillian was talking about. The other thing that's going on at the state level, I really want to mention, in case you don't know about this, you may have signed a ballot initiative, a petition to get a ballot initiative on the ballot for November this year, and it's the Alternate Energy Bill. This is an excellent bill. It's very well written, and it will set up a statewide board, a 9-member group of people, a department, if you like, at the state level, to implement alternate fuels. And that will be money that's raised from the oil companies who extract crude from the ground and from offshore in the state of California. It will be a crude extraction tax. And it's on a sliding scale. Depending on the number of barrels I think they take out of the ground or the size of the oil companies in question, it's between 1 and 5 or 5-something percent. And what they do, they will pay the state, and because of we know the number of barrels that are taken out of the ground in California on an annual basis, we know that it will raise between $3 and $4 billion over a 10-year period. And that money will be dedicated, if this initiative passes, this is the energy initiative, that money will be dedicated for the use of alternate fuels. In other words, clean energy. It will be used for education, research and development, and actually building the infrastructure. So it will be used to help startup companies build the infrastructure that will create clean energy fuels. And so that involves renewables. It involves fuels you can use to drive your car. So that's a very important bill, and we really need that to get passed. So I would urge you to tell the most important thing you can do this summer and for the rest of this year is talk to your friends and anyone you meet about that and tell them this is a good bill. I've read the initiative through twice. There is nothing wrong with it. No matter what people might tell you, they may be suspicious of some aspects that it doesn't mention. What it does do is very clearly define what clean energy is. That is known, and it is an accurate description, and the monies will be used for that. So the Sierra Club is in support of it, and we have come out in support of it a couple months ago at the state level. We voted. We talked about it, and we urge you to support that. That is the most important thing you can do, apart from the fact that, of course, you can all do many things as individuals to help conserve energy and to use energy efficiently. The single most important thing that we can do in the United States and worldwide as users of electricity and fossil fuel power is to simply use less of it. And in case you're not sure how to do that, we have lists that tell you how. We have all kinds of options that are open to you so that you can change your lifestyle a little at a time as you get the opportunity. And one of the things I did a year ago, I decided to put my money where my mouth was, and I had, just as a for instance, one of the most electricity or juice-consuming appliances in your home is your refrigerator. It's on 24 hours a day. I bought my house in 1977 in North Hollywood, and the refrigerator was new then, and it was going great. Has been, went great until last year, but it was built according to 1977 energy efficiency standards. If you bought a brand new refrigerator today, of course, as soon as I realized this, I replaced it. I bought a refrigerator, spent maybe $900, bought an Energy Star. That's the key point here, an Energy Star. All of those Energy Star refrigerators that or any other appliance that was built after the year 2000 in the case of refrigerators use about a third the amount of electricity that the older ones do. So you not only will lessen your electricity bill immediately, but you will be helping the planet by reducing greenhouse gases. And the reason that works is because over 50% of our power is imported from out of state and is produced by coal. And the single most heavy pollutant of and cause of CO2 and greenhouse gas emissions is burning coal. So the Sierra Club has as one of the arms of its new energy policy, decreasing and decommissioning all coal power plants over time, of course. I mean, that's going to take 20 to 30 years. But we want to go to clean energy. And in case you're not quite sure what that is, we're talking about wind power, solar power, biomass, using biomass fuels. It's small hydro, because large hydro affects the environment too much. We're not in favor of that. But small hydro plants are clean and very useful. And also, and the other most important thing about clean energy is that we want to promote clean energy installations, which means wind farm and solar, locally, to be used locally, because a lot of the electricity that's generated from them is lost in transmission. Let me talk about, I don't have a lot of time, I guess, so what I'm going to talk about is, what is the Sierra Club doing about this? We've talked a little bit so far about what the state is doing and some about what you're doing, what you can do. But the Sierra Club has decided this year to launch our Cool Cities campaign. And we did this after much talking, discussion at the grassroots level. We met actually last December in the Moscone Center. 1,000 leaders, this is leaders, chapters leaders. I'm vice chair of the Angeles chapter, which covers all of Los Angeles and Orange counties. We have 52,000 members active now in those two counties. And so I'm vice chair of that group because I was elected by the leaders who were elected by the membership. And so we are the biggest chapter in the country. There are many chapters in Sierra Club nationwide. And the chapter leaders from every chapter got together at the Moscone Center, which is in San Francisco, back in September, and we voted on what we wanted to make the number one top priority campaign for the next 5 years. And it could have been forests, it could have been wetlands, it could have been development issues that we call sprawl, could have been a number of things, forest campaigns, clean air, clean water. We decided to call it, and because it is, energy. Energy is the most overriding concern to all of us, because if we don't get energy right, nothing else matters. It's going to affect every issue there is in such a way that it will cause catastrophic devastation to the planet. We have to start moving. We have to put our money and our staff and our volunteer base, which is our real strength, all the volunteers, toward that effort. And so the first way we decided to do it, of course we're still deciding and still talking on the net, 200 of us are energy chairs like me, deciding on policy and deciding what can we do to help global warming within the United States. And one of the things that was obvious that we decided to do was to jump on to the Cool Cities campaign that Greg Nichols in Seattle started about 18 months ago. Thus far, there are about 213 cities. Now, that's as of 2 weeks. I don't get on the net every day to check it. But there were 213 cities that had signed on nationwide, which is not a lot. So we have a lot of work to do, and that's why the Sierra Club is needed. Mayor Greg Nichols couldn't do it alone. It has to be a nationwide network. And the Sierra Club has lots of members, and all we're trying to do is get one member in every city to write a letter, to sign the letter that we're giving them a sample of, and to send a copy of the climate protection agreement that Mayor Nichols wrote, which is a page and a half, and to send a copy of a brochure that tells them how to do it, how to implement it. And that's called the Cool Cities Brochure, which the Sierra Club has printed up. This is a 16-page color brochure, and it tells the cities how to begin starting to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions on a large scale. And the way they're going to do that is by supporting, investing in green energy, renewable energy, otherwise known as the Renewable Portfolio Standard. In California, we call it RPS. Well, I think they call it RPS nationwide. And that speaks to, that's language we got from the Kyoto Agreement. Because our president would not sign on to that, we are doing it one city at a time, the hard way. But we have to do it this way anyway. Each person, each city, each town should be doing the most it can at this point to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And the way you do that is, let me give you a few examples. I started to say you invest more in renewable energy. Instead of investing in a new coal-fired plant or a new nuclear plant out of state or in your state, you can invest in wind farms and solar for new electricity. The other thing you can do as a city is to replace your rolling stock of fleets of vehicles. And one vehicle, which could be a school bus or a maintenance vehicle or a city car, for instance, takes about an average of 17 years nationwide to be rolled over, to need to be replaced. As those rolling stock replacements become available, we want those to be fueled by clean energy. So that's one thing they can do, and they can begin doing right away. Now, I have to say, L.A. has signed on as a clean city. There are 13 in the Southland already signed on. Santa Monica's one, Burbank, West Hollywood, Long Beach, is that right? The few of them are kind of obscure, small, but Lakewood is one. Anyway, you will know if yours is signed on. So we need not people that live in L.A. because they're already signed on. We need people who live in other cities to present our letter and the climate copy of the Climate Protection Agreement that we want them to sign on to, and a copy of the Cool Cities brochure. Now, we also have, for people to learn about these, we have a few other little handouts that you can take and give to people, your friends who live in the cities that are not signed on. And so we have this, and we have one of these to read about it. And then for you, for individuals or for companies, we have this, which you may have in your handout in some other form, but there's a card so you can take some more. This is a little bit easier to keep, I think. It's on a thicker paper, yellow for energy, and this tells you everything, maybe not everything, but a great many things you can do toward becoming carbon neutral. And the point is not that you have to do everything instantly, although, of course, that would be optimal, but that you fit these little enhancements into your lives as you get the opportunity. You know, you buy a bike instead of a new car, maybe, if you're retired and don't need to drive much. In my case, I have to commute 26 miles to work, so I'm looking for a job near home. But what I've been trying to do for the year that I've been commuting that far is I try to just retire the car for one whole day a week. Don't take it out of the garage. Because it's the cold start that causes all the greenhouse gases. It's not the actual driving, it's starting the car. So there are lots of things you can learn by getting on the net, but this will get you started. And you can always call the Sierra Club if you have any questions, or email me, or write me, or call me. And I'll help you out or refer you to someone who is an expert on just about any of these topics. We have two tables outside that will help you with all these leaflets if you want to take a few for friends. And one is the Friends for Expo table, which is one of the subcommittees I started at the Angels chapter, and we have gotten a light rail line on the MTA's list of projects to be built. Half of it is funded, and I started that group 6 years ago, so I'm kind of pleased about that. But the guy who did most of the work, Daryl Clark, will be at that table. He started the local group in Santa Monica, which is where he lives. So we're really proud of him. And the other group that's tabling for the Sierra Club is your local group. Al Sattler will be there, but they're on the side. Both of these are on the side here as you walk out the door. So please talk to them about anything you'd like to learn about the Sierra Club and how you can get involved. And they do have local meetings. Not sure where, but Al will tell you for sure. I don't know how much time I have left, but do we have any questions? Okay. Do we have what? Yeah, the LADWP has had different kinds of rebate programs at different times. They run out, then they renew them. I'm working with a group called the LA, it's the Environmental Working Group for the Environment, which was a couple months ago, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, very green mayor, as you probably know. He's been supported by the Sierra Club for years and years because he's pro-rail, he's an environmentalist. He has a 100% voting record with us when he was in the assembly, and is continuing. So he formed, when he became mayor, the Los Angeles Working Group from the Environment, and he invited 40 people, one representative from 40 different environmental groups in the LA area, to get together on different topics to form groups. And, of course, I was in the energy group, to tell him, to advise him how he can green the city. And so these groups have been meeting for months, and one of the things on the list, then I had a meeting, I got the Transportation Committee and my Energy Committee together before that, actually. We were going to talk to him separately. We had done our own list before we knew that he had devised the working group. So we came up with 18 points of things he could do, and we weren't sure if he was doing any or not in the city. We hadn't really checked, but we knew what was needed. So we were going to present him with that. Then he formed the working group, so the whole group of the working group, which is a lot of other organizations, which was great, gave him that list and expanded on it. And one of the things, of course, on the list is to give rebates for refrigerators and freezers that are turned in for when you buy new ones, and I don't know how they do it, but there are a couple of different ways of compensating you for investing in new freezers and refrigerators and for handing in your old ones. In other words, not keeping them plugged in even though you're not really using them very much. So there are incentives, and we want those to increase. That's definitely on our list of recommendations. Yeah.
One, I heard of a company, I don't think I'll need that. Thank you, my voice carries. Okay, I've heard of a company that converts freezers to refrigerators.
Wow.
So it's a top opening lid for a refrigerator instead of a freezer. Because the worst thing about a refrigerator is every time you open the door, the cold air goes out and spills on the floor.
Yeah.
And then it has to be recooled again, but that doesn't happen in a top opening lid. The second thing is, you're talking about, in general, finding employment that is closer to your home. How about finding a home that's closer to your employment? Because that can happen immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of work. To be honest, I have about two meetings every day, even though I work 5 days a week. I have a lunch and an evening meeting most days Yeah. It's tough for me at the moment, but in theory, I do agree, and I had even thought of that when I went to the interview. Just haven't done it yet. Yeah, that is a good idea. Anything that reduces that travel time is optimal, for sure. Yeah.
I wanted to bring... I'm sorry. I was just discussing with my husband a couple weeks ago with the high cost of gas. I said, you know, I'm really tired of our federal government allowing us to have a mortgage write-off on the interest. What about all the, you know, encouraging people to live closer to where they work or the opposite, moving, you know, getting a new job, and giving incentives, even if people have to rent, give them a better renter's credit to live, within 5 to 10 miles of work. I think it's way past due. They need to really start giving more incentives for these kind of actions. And the other thing I want to mention is, as we all know, the oil companies conspired with the car manufacturers, the tire companies in the 40s, to take out all this mass transit. Can we effectively, with the environmental groups, Sierra Club, etc., somehow tax these companies that in essence caused a lot of this problem, removed our rail system that went from, you know, Redondo Beach all the way up to Santa Monica and the rail, and get them to help foot the bill to reinstitute some of these rail systems around the country that they removed?
Well, we are trying to do that, but you're right, because when you talk about encouraging people or companies or large corporations or even utility companies and municipalities, when you talk about encouraging them to do the right thing and the thing that will help the planet, the only practical way of doing it is through fiscal incentives. That's the truth. I mean, as an urban planner, I was trained on that quite well. So it is using fiscal incentives and disincentives. And one of the things, let me give you an example. Downtowns of different cities try to discourage traffic, more traffic coming in, like Saturday or weekends, evenings. I mean, in London, for instance, now there's a big thing going on, that's my hometown, where they're charging, I think it's £9 a day, which is like $20 or close to it, for a car to go into the center of town for the day. And there's no way out of it. You have to pay it. No fudging that. And so cities all over the planet are starting to get this message. The way to discourage driving into the center of London, for instance, is to tax it, to make people pay for the true cost of have using up the land, for instance, parking. The true cost of parking is something we in California don't know anything about. So if you impose the true cost of parking, which is especially in a high rent district, like for instance downtown Pasadena or downtown LA, it becomes all of a sudden prohibitive to many people. And that's the hard way of doing it, but it is realistic. So those are the things we need to do. So when people complain about things like gasoline and parking, in fact, in a way, it's working to our advantage, because maybe it will discourage them from what I would call abuse at this point. You know, if you're driving alone in your car, and it's a lot of leisure driving, when you could have combined trips and done all your shopping at only one location, instead you ran around to four places because you're doing a dinner party, as I have done recently, I have to admit. But you know, if it's mindless and needless, then we really need to consider what are we doing to the planet, and to modify our behavior and to not use the green, not to emit greenhouse gases. And that's where the carbon neutrality phrase comes in. Lillian said that sounded like a disease. Well, I agree. Jim Stewart uses that, my good friend and my one of the members of my energy committee. And he likes that phrase. You've seen it on TV ads in a different form. There they call it reducing your carbon footprint, which is actually more attractive to me. But it's the same concept. The point is to understand the concept, and that is to reduce your personal responsibility for the greenhouse gas emissions. I'm told my time is up.
I have one question. What is the name of the bill that you were talking about at the beginning?
Sorry?
What is the name of the bill that you were talking about?
You mean AB 32 or the Energy Alternative? The initiative is the Energy Alternative Fuel Initiative. And AB 32, Lillian knows the name of that bill. Didn't you call it the global? I only know it as AB 32. Global warming is in the title, I think.
It was the other then. It was the other one you were talking about that you asked us to promote.
The Energy Initiative. It's called the Energy Initiative. It will be it'll appear on the ballot in November as the Energy Initiative.
Thank you. Oh, would the panel members come up on the stage? Now we have a panel of members to really tell you how to do it. I want to tell you one thing. You know, I'm going to find it hard to go around and stop driving or riding. So my choice is to try to get a plug-in Prius, which gets over 100 miles per gallon. Now, if everybody drove a car that got over 100 miles per gallon, you'd go a long way towards solving the problems of global warming. And that's something we need to work on as well. We may or may not have one here today. It was pretty iffy. But if we have one, don't miss it.
Paul, would you like to come on the stage?
Now we have a panel of three people that are going to tell you the practical ways that you can work for helping your save money and help cut global warming and improve your quality of life. All those things they're going to tell you about. The first speaker is going to be, each speaker will have 13 minutes and then questions, but during the question period they can talk to each other and you can ask anybody the questions. The first speaker will be Mr. Brad Bartz. He's the founder of ABC Solar. They all have tables out here, and we've had to give them so little time. It's unfortunate because they have lots to say, but you can talk to all of them in their tables out there, and you can spend a half an hour with each one. Brad started his first business at age 16. He really knows a lot from way back. After graduating from Loyola Marymount, he moved to Japan, where he started a commercial internet company. And then he spent 11 years in Japan. He might want to go to that Japanese dinner afterwards. And then he returned to Palos Verdes, where he started ABC Solar in 2000 to help us get solar reduce the effects of global warming. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Brad Bartz.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'll do my best to speak slowly. I tend to be very excited about this subject, So if you see me talking too fast, please slow me down. I have a very simple handout. I'm sorry, I printed as much as I could. I got a free printer, and I printed until it ran out of ink. Today I hope to give you just a brief introduction into the little solar business that I've started, tell you a little bit about the basics of solar energy, a little bit about the technology. Outside on the different booths, you're going to see some of the market stakeholders. I strongly encourage you to visit and talk. There's a lot of very interesting people that are here today. And one of the things that's on my initiatives is to change the state name from the Golden State to the Solar State. This is California's new gold rush, but the difference between this, the last gold rush and this one is it's not just the guys selling the tools that make the money. It's the people that actually get in and get involved in doing it. And we'll also give you some residential solar examples. There's pictures in that handout. And, really, the point is that you really can make this happen, and you can start slowly. I'll also try to give you some ideas of what you should ask when you meet a different contractor for your solar business. And I think one of the important things, particularly for my family, is jobs, jobs, and jobs. The renewable energy sector is a place where we're going to see significant economic growth, and I'll touch a little bit about my experience in Japan when I do that. Going solar, it's a mission, and I mean that, most sincerely. We have to look at the energy that we don't have in the future. My last trip to Tokyo, I had the luxury of sitting with the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Mr. Congressman Sensenbrenner, and we were talking about the future, and I kept asking him, why are our CAFE standards for our cars so low? And he wouldn't answer, and I said, even my daughter knows that we will run out of oil in 50 years. How come you guys don't know? So, I'm in his wife, who is a lovely, lovely lady, said, Dad, did you hear that? This boy's a visionary. And I said, oh, man, we're in trouble. I'm hoping, to be involved in this business by encouraging energy awareness. You'll find some very interesting tools and toys that I have outside that will show you how energy is made and what you can do with it. In my opinion, the phrase is my nuclear plant is already outsourced. So we'll keep it out where it is and then use it every day. I want to encourage wide participation, whether it's solar on the church, solar on your school, or solar on your home. It's something that you can all be involved in. And again, for our competitive advantage, this is about jobs. In Japan, over 100 companies are manufacturing solar panels. Honda Motor just announced their own plant to make their own solar panels. They have taken their Ministry of Industry and Trade and made this their business plan, renewable energy. Japan will be the first major country to go offline. They will go offline. China will be next. 1.3 billion people will go offline. This is a strategic military initiative on the part of China. You look at the new dam, although it's doing horrendous things to the environment, 10% of their electricity will be generated from that dam. You look at Japan, they get three times as much energy from a barrel of oil than we do. You can start to do the math and see that they see the competitive future, and our government does not. China has dedicated $160 billion to renewable energy. California has done $3 billion, and in the federal government, it's hundreds of millions. It's just not there. In today's solar technology, I have one simple question. Do you think for solar electric systems you will make more energy here in Palos Verdes or in Barstow? How many people think Barstow? How many think here in Palos Verdes? Now, the reason that it's here in Palos Verdes and most people don't realize this, is as electronics get hotter, they degrade in their efficiency. So solar panels operate beautifully at 70 degrees. And on a bright sunny day in Palos Verdes, you will make more energy than a bright sunny day in Barstow. Now, Barstow doesn't have cloudy days, so they have an advantage there. You know, it's very rarely cloudy. But on a ounce per ounce basis, you make more energy here because the panels are cooler. There's two basic technologies now where you have multicrystalline solar panels, polycrystalline, and then amorphous silicon. I've brought today some amorphous silicon, and not to get into too much detail, but the basic difference is amorphous silicon is more low light sensitive. So in foggy areas or marine applications, you would use that type of technology. The funniest thing about being in this business is when you install a solar system and you first turn it on, the owner's eyes light up. You turn on the panels and they watch the inverter. It starts its countdown, and then they'll walk over to the meter, and the meter will start to slow down as the unit starts to power up, and then the meter will start to go like this and oscillate, and then start to go backwards, and it really doesn't want to go backwards, but when it does, the eyes light up because it's something that you're just not used to, the idea that you're making your own energy. Now, photovoltaics, the process or the idea of it, is an Einstein invention. So for me, it's very exciting to be involved in a business that was invented by Albert Einstein. Basically, this is a rock that makes electricity. So you put a rock on your roof and it makes electricity. Now it's fun. They require us to have meters so it will show you what your energy is making, and you know, which is a nice feature, but every day it's going to be doing the same thing. And so the meter really becomes not that important after time because it's the same thing every day. Now one of the questions people ask me, and you'll have to excuse me on the analogy, but for an average home in America, 1,400 square foot, a 3-kilowatt system is what you would need to power that home. Now, generally speaking, you don't take the number of square foot and equate that to power needs, because it's based on the number of appliances you have and if you have a pool and things of this nature. So a typical home in America uses 500 kilowatt hours a month. And that's approximately what a 3-kilowatt system will generate. So when you do your math and you look at your electric bill, you can basically say that 1 kilowatt is equivalent to 150 kilowatt hours per month. So look at your kilowatt hour usage and divide by 150, and that will tell you the size of system that you need. The elementary school up here, the old Pedregal campus, Cornerstone, could use a 60-kilowatt system. Now, the 60 kilowatts is a nice size system, but that takes the school offline. Real quickly, the incentives for the solar systems. Right now in California, that 3-kilowatt system qualifies for a $7,000 cash rebate. Cash. The federal government kicks in an additional $2,000 in a tax credit. So first year incentives are $9,000. Inside of my packet, I hope that I've provided a lot of information. I encourage you to go to two websites. One is abcsolar.com, and on that you will find a tremendous amount of information about solar energy, as well as another site called solardaily.com. And that site's more about industry news. I'm running out of time here. I'll have the booth all day. I really love this stuff. So if we can help you go solar, that's what it's about. If it's with my company, that's great. If it's with one of these other vendors, that's great too. Competition is groovy. Can I answer any questions about solar? Lillian? They will be, you know, in Japan. I was lucky enough to be politically active there. I sat in the Prime Minister's office, and they plan on becoming a net energy producer, meaning that they will manufacture so many solar panels and so many renewable devices made in Japan or through their facilities, they will make more energy than they use. The Prius, the electric cars and everything are headed in that direction. They will have smart highways and things that, you know, are fascinating. But the thing that's interesting about Japan is that this is a strategic military mission for them to get off of oil. This isn't about the environment. This is about business. And they've made that decision. When our country decides to make that decision, we can be number one. But right now, we're third or fourth. Germany is the largest country, then Japan, and then we're a distant third. And it's time to change that. Yes, sir?
Be careful not to put on a heavy roof even.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do these things weigh, and do I have to replace my roof rafters?
No, you know, you're looking at about 3 pounds per square foot. And, you know, so you're adding over a 300 square foot array, about 900 pounds. If you can walk on your roof, not a problem. You can also look at, and there's examples out there of different type of solar panels that are even much lighter than that. So we haven't had the experience of the solar panels being too heavy. As a matter of fact, it'll make your roof stronger because you end up creating another substructure above your rafters. So if you can walk on it, it's not an issue.
I have a question. Years ago, I read that Germany was making walls out of smog. Do you know? I guess you.
I'm not familiar.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I know that they're doing. Mandating the use of solar in new buildings. So if you build something new, you have to go renewable. And the same in Italy. You can study that one.
Well, what other things?
This gentleman will be able to answer that question for you.
What other things is Europe doing?
Well, the big thing is that they're encouraging the manufacture of the panels for domestic use first and then for export. But it's really coming to the government regulations that require buildings to go solar, and which makes it interesting. Yes, and so one of the most common questions that I get is, are there solar roofing shingles? And the answer is absolutely yes. So they're basically, you know, if you will, like this big. One side is inert, one side has solar, and they fit on top of each other just like regular shingles. Yes. You know, it is more expensive to try and use the solar shingles, and I'm not a particular fan of it for two reasons. One, the expense, and two, one of the things that a grid of solar panels above your roof does, it has a 3 to 6 inch airflow space. It acts as a radiant barrier for that roof surface, so it keeps your home even cooler. So, you know, there's advantages of having something as opposed to the shingle straight on. And, you know, if you design it correctly, it looks beautiful. And I refer you to some of the pictures in here that if you have straight lines and you design it, you know, you can build beautiful systems. And just one last point is, over the next 30 years, you're going to buy electricity, without a doubt. Nothing you can do about that. The government is willing to pay for 20 years of that. That's what the rebates mean today. 20 years of free energy. Yes, sir? His question is there room for improvement in, you know, the theoretical barrier of how much energy you can convert into electricity? And the answer is, yeah, there's a lot of room for improvement. But one of the biggest areas to look at is the manufacturing process. If you look at this, plate glass windows, this is a 75-year-old industry. And that means 75 years ago, all glass was made by artisans. It was made by hand. Now glass is everywhere. It's ubiquitous because of a manufacturing process, not because they learned how to, you know, make more from less. It's because they learned how to manufacture it. So I look at solar panels, and it will be everywhere based on manufacturing. There's also a lot of neat research, and solardaily.com covers a lot of that, looking at a lot of the universities, even with spray-on solar, printing solar. It's quite fascinating what people are doing. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am? You know, I've passed out what I had. I'll be happy to give you the one that I speak from. Okay? Great. Oh, thank you so much. And I also, you know, if you give me an email address, be happy to email it to you. Thank you so much, and I appreciate it.
Our second speaker is Marilyn Lyon. She owns Lyon Associates, a marketing firm and public relations firm. She has she works with the South Bay City's Council of Governments Energy Program and has a booth out here, and you can talk to her about that. She's also been on the City Council in Rancho Palos Verdes and served twice as mayor. And she graduated from Cal State University, Dominguez Hills, and she is also a California State licensed realtor. She has many, many skills, and I'm sure that you'll enjoy her talk. Let's welcome Marilyn Lyon.
Well, good morning, everyone, and I applaud you for being here. And I want to thank Environmental Priorities Network very much for having this South Bay Energy Fair today and drawing all these different people together. I'd like to explain a little bit about what South Bay Energy Savings Center is, and then we'll go from there. It was formed out of the Energy Working Group from South Bay City's Council of Governments, and our first speaker may be interested to know that we do have a local regional body that's made up of all the city councils, so you can come and speak to get to 15 cities at once with your message. This is very good that our cities are interested in saving energy, and I'll tell you in a few minutes how some of the cities have taken steps to save energy at their city halls and facilities already. But first, I'd like to tell you, we are a grant program, and we are funded by ratepayer dollars that come straight off your utility bills. There's a little line item called public goods charge on your electric bill and your gas bill, and it helps to pay for the rebates and cash incentives that are offered by Southern California Edison and the gas company. The Public Utilities Commission put our South Bay City's Council of Government in partnership with our local utilities to educate the South Bay residents, businesses, and public agencies on how they can be saving energy. Energy efficiency is using technology to help you conserve electricity and gas. And soon we hope to be adding water to that as well, because water conservation helps to save energy as well. We offer free workshops, so if you are interested in taking a workshop, take a look at our website calendar and look what's coming up next. We also take our workshops on the road. We'd be happy to come and give a workshop to any group or organization, homeowners association, all over the South Bay. We keep our staff busy all the time. We're in two places at once today, giving the message of energy efficiency. But I'm glad our first speaker brought up refrigerators, because we have something very special that we've arranged for the South Bay, a special pickup of your working refrigerators that are over 10 years old on June the 10th. I will have flyers at my table, and you can pick that up. And this is a special coveted Saturday pickup day.
has been arranged just for our South Bay cities. So I want you to be sure and take advantage of that. We have a lot of things coming up soon. There's a room air conditioner turn-in day at a Hawthorne Home Depot on June 3rd and 4th. We want to get all the old room air conditioners off the grid and get those turned in. There is just so many ways that you can save. And at every event that you attend, a community exhibit or a workshop, we're going to give you as a little gift your first start on energy efficiency. This little bulb right here is going to work so hard for you. But through technology, it works very cool. You can have this plugged in, and it's very cool to the touch. It just doesn't use very much electricity at all. And if you, as your incandescent bulbs burn out in your home, please consider replacing them with a compact fluorescent light bulb, and you will be on your way to saving energy. But I did want to mention how our cities are moving forward in a rapid manner for cities. Usually government moves very slowly. We have a new program that's a joint procurement program for our cities to jointly purchase and jointly enjoy the rebates of purchasing certain energy efficiency items. Now, this is a small item, and you might not think it uses a lot of electricity, but think of all the vending machines that are at every city hall facility, park facility, all that type of thing. Well, all of our cities in the South Bay have signed on to this, and they are now in the process of installing a little gadget called a vending miser on each of their vending machines. Keep in mind, those vending machines are on 24 hours a day, and they're just really sucking up a lot of energy. So this powers them down when there's not a lot of foot traffic. It's a simple thing to do. And if you want to see an example of it, you can go to Hess Park in Rancho Palos Verdes. They've installed theirs already, and you can take a look at how that is working. We're also working with our cities to do lighting retrofitting, and we'll be moving to larger. We're now going to do this, offer this joint procurement to businesses as well. So we're busy doing a lot of things, and we'd like to help you with any type of a workshop you'd like to attend, or if you'd like us to do it for your business or your group, be sure you give us a call. I have a lot of information today. This is our handout that's in your plastic bag, and so that lets you know all the different things we can do for you. This is our map. We're located at Carson Street and Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance, so we're pretty centrally located for the South Bay. Today, I have also, since you're an action-oriented group, I have brought you the actual rebate forms that's from the gas company and Southern California Edison. So if you're in a mind to change out your appliances, you can go shopping today and take your rebate forms with you. And I want something that's very, very important. I want you to always look for the Energy Star logo on anything that plugs in. I want you to look for that logo, because that means that manufacturer has had to meet some very rigorous requirements to earn the right to use that logo by the Department of Energy. Okay, let's see. I have a lot of things at my booth today, so I hope that you all stop by and see me, because I'd like to talk to you individually. That's the way we do this program, one-on-one. We find that when we personally ask people to save energy, they're more than willing to do that. You can save energy, save money, and save your planet, too. All right, are there any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I take walks at night, and I see all of these streetlights, and it's such an overabundance. Is there any way to cut down the streetlights at one crosswalk? There is four big lights lighting up the crosswalk. There's no need for that. Is there any way we can cut down that energy loss?
I would think so. I'm hoping that we can do solar. I heard some little solar comments back here. I'm hoping that we could move more in that direction. The best thing to do is check with your particular city and see what they are doing about that. Please make your voices heard. Having been on City Council for 8 years, City Council members need to hear from you. You think, you know, that they know what's going on. Well, they know what's going on by the people they talk to. So you must always go and let your voices be heard and ask them what they're doing about it. Currently, we're quite involved with a lot of the facility managers at the cities, and we give them special workshops on things, and we're trying to advise them on things they can do. But if you have something specific in mind, give us a call at the center. We have a hotline, and we have somebody there to take your calls 5 days a week. And we're open 5 days a week to encourage you to come in. Yes, ma'am.
Downtown. Doesn't the electric company downtown have lights all over the place all night long and so on?
I think you're referring to the Department of Water and Power.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's yeah. That. Los
anyway,
Angeles.
They shouldn't have lights all over, should they? Okay.
Yep, they could probably lower some of those. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
That's because they don't pay for the power.
Right. When I first started working with South Bay Energy Savings Center, I sort of asked myself, now why in the world would Edison and the gas company want to be doing this? I thought they were in the business of selling energy. But there was some legislation a few years ago that forced the issue, and that's how the public goods charge came about. Now, something I'd like for you all to keep an eye on is the California Public Utilities Commission and the California Energy Commission will be working to try to figure out a way that we can have some sort of charge like this with regard to our water so that we can educate people about water conservation. 15% of water agencies in California don't even meter the water usage, so people don't even know how much they're using. So there's a lot of work to be done in conservation of all areas, but thanks to people like yourselves, you can spread the message to your sphere of influence. Okay?
I have a question.
Yes.
Is there an equivalent, or is Santa Monica part of the South Bay City's energy center? And if not, no. Is there an equivalent?
Yes, there's an equivalent body. I think that's a fairly new council of governments. These are your local regional bodies that also are a part of SCAG. I don't know if you've heard of that. It covers the greater Los Angeles County region, I think. And we also have a seat on their energy working group. So we're trying to keep in contact with what a lot of cities are doing. But believe me, the cities also have a bottom line they have to meet, and they're getting, you know, if you're not interested in saving energy because you're an environmentalist, even if you're an economist, you understand it can save you money as well. So I think we finally have the message that appeals to everyone to help us conserve energy. Okay, any other questions? All right, thank you very much, and please stop by my booth.
Our third speaker today is Paul Ostro. He is a worldwide consultant on energy efficiency, and he will be able to tell you about what's going on in the rest of the world, as Bart did, and that's very interesting. So many of us don't know what's going on in other countries. He designs renewable energy systems and renewable energy devices. He's very involved in alternative fuels, and will probably tell you about the ethanol co-op that he has founded. He also has been very active in solar as well, and so he may speak about that as well. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Paul Ostro.
Thank you, Lillian. And Oliver, wherever you are, thanks for getting her here today. Special thanks, I'd like to start off to thank the Environmental Priorities Network, EPN, Beth, David, everyone, all the volunteers who put this whole event together. This takes a lot of work to put these together, and also want to thank Lillian again. They were nice enough to give me an award a few years ago, which the first award I ever received, actually. And it brings us all back to what we're doing here. And I'd like to thank everyone that's here right now for doing this, because you're here for a reason. Whether you're here for the environment, whether you're here to save money, whether you're here for security, whatever hat you wear, you took the time to come here, and I really appreciate it. So thank you for you to come here. The only thing that I ask of you today is if you apply, please apply the things that you see here today. If it's a dollar, if it's a light bulb for a dollar, if it's a solar system for $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, if it's joining a co-op for a few hundred dollars to get some fuel, please take advantage of it and please do it today. It could cost you as little as a dollar today, or I got a lot of stuff I could sell you for a lot of money if you're interested. Anyway, that's what I'm going to ask. I have a lot to talk about. I don't have enough time, but I will tell you this. I can help everyone here. I have a whole plethora, a group of consultants that will come to your home and help you. We'll spend the time to sit down with you to teach you how to save energy. The little tricks that we can do at home save tremendous, tremendous amounts of energy. We have devices. We have renewable energy equipment. But it's complex. It's for us, it's very simple. We know about this, and you don't. Maybe a lot of you are savvy, but we'll help you. I'll be happy to give out my number and my business card. You can speak with Brad as well if you're interested in solar, because there's a lot of expertise that goes into some of it. It's not that hard once you learn how, but let us help you. Please take advantage of our expertise and our knowledge, because I'll tell you a little bit about myself, how I got into this industry. I'm originally from Palos Verdes. I graduated Mira West High School. I went off to USC, and then I became an airline pilot. Awful career. Furloughs, layoffs, September 11th. Awful time. But when I was flying around, a lot of people know this story. I'd look out the window from 35,000 feet and see these funny solar panels. And I was flying one day I was a captain, and I was flying with a first officer, and I said, "What are those funny solar panels?" He says, "Oh, brah. Those are photovoltaics." I went, "What's a photovoltaic?" He goes, "You can make electricity from the sun." I said, "No, you can't." And you can. And as Brad was mentioning, this goes way back. It's actually before Albert Einstein, if I can give a little more credit to Albert. Albert Einstein received his Nobel Prize in 1921 on the photovoltaic, or the solar electric cell, not the theory of relativity that we all studied, E equals MC squared. Does that help us? Not us. But will solar help us? Everyone here will help. So he received his Nobel Prize on that in 1921. It was invented about 150 years ago by either a French or a German physicist. There's still wars going on between France and Germany on that one. But it's here. I use it. Brad uses it. I'm not sure. Can I see a hand? Anyone here uses solar electric in their homes? Oh, I love doing this. Shame on you. Get out there. Give Brad a call. I turned into my father one day. I came home from a flight, and I had my uniform on, and I opened my bill, and I went, "What does electricity grow on trees?" The cost of electricity has tripled since we deregulated energy in the state. We are getting killed. I'm going to talk about money really quick. Costs of everything have gone up. The cost of energy in January for Southern California Edison went up another 15%. Southern California gas went up 50%. You read the bills, you know, and you go, oh, you roll your eyes and you pay it. Keep paying. It's going to go up even more. We're expecting gasoline to be over $5 a gallon by the end of the summer. Lillian knows. I've discussed with her a year ago. I said gas will be over $3 a gallon by the beginning of the summer this year. I travel the world still, not as a pilot, but as an energy consultant. The United States is still one of the greatest countries in the world, but we're getting our butts kicked. We're getting beaten up like you can't believe. Germany is number one. Japan, they have mandated. Did you know in Germany right now, if I could add on to what Brad said, they pay you 50 cents a kilowatt for energy that you put back into the grid, cash. So instead of getting an electric bill, you get checks from the power company. You get money. Instead of paying them, they're paying you. There's ways to do this. There's ways to do this efficiently. There's ways to bring the costs down. People are concerned about the cost to do all this stuff. Real simple. Consumption equals cost. If you get your consumption down 50%, what does your cost come down? 50%. It's actually not necessarily linear. It can be exponential. There's a guy that I know, I don't want to mention his name, me, who was too cheap to go out and buy a solar system, but I was going to do it because my friends who died September 11th, I was not going to play this game anymore. My energy came down 97% because I switched to Energy Star machines. I learned how to use a power strip. I switched my light bulbs. I did everything. I walked around the house. It took me a couple hours and traveling the world to learn from the Europeans. My European headquarters is in Switzerland. I consulted the Swiss Energy Council. I'm currently consulting to Senator Rung of Thailand, who's the Secretary of Energy in Thailand. They are doing things that you would not believe. My electric bill went down to $1.35 a month from $100. This is what I do. I come to your homes and I get your energy down. You don't have to make huge investments. You don't have to buy a lot of appliances, but it's how we use them. Of course, if you have old appliances, we recommend switching them, especially if you go to solar, because your cost is equal to consumption. If I told you right now that there's an Energy Star refrigerator that consumes 300 watts a day, that's on average about, let's just say, less than 30 watts an hour, less than this light bulb here, and it would take less than one-third of a solar panel to run. Solar panels can cost in excess of $600. So now you can run that refrigerator for less than $200 for the rest of its life instead of paying the power company. You see how this works? It really works. Have an energy consultant come in, take a look at the house, and teach you these things. I don't have enough time to teach you how to do it right now. Come to the booth. There's so much we can do, and if you want to do it, like I said, speak to these professionals and they'll take care of it for you. They'll go into your house. Okay, I'm kind of going all over the place. There's so much to talk about. Solar shingles, they're kind of got a little bit of bad rap. I'd like to talk a little about them. There's certain instances when you need a solar shingle. For instance, if you have an art jury in your area that doesn't allow solar panels for aesthetic reasons, you want to do it, you can't put a shingle on. I've installed solar shingles in London. I've installed shingles in Switzerland, Germany, France, Thailand. They also they're not affected by heat, as Brad had mentioned, as much as a regular solar panel. They actually have a little bit more output when things get kind of hot. So there is a place for them. Are they more expensive? Yeah, they're a little bit more expensive, but isn't it worth the aesthetics? And if you can't because of your homeowners association, or if you're in a condo, it's an option, you can use it. There's a whole bunch of different things that you can do. A whole bunch of different solar panels. There's catalogs. There's now over 12 major manufacturers in the United States who sell solar. This is something really quick. One of, I'm not sure what company Brad's selling, but you know Shell Oil? They are, I think, the second largest manufacturer of solar now. Guess who number one is? BP, Beyond Petroleum. They're no longer called British Petroleum. They like to call themselves Beyond. The oil companies are buying this. They're not shelving it. They're buying their manufacturing. Why? Because they're going to stay in energy. Let them stay in energy. They have the infrastructure. They have the resources. But let them do it responsibly. Don't you agree? If they have $100 billion to develop this stuff, let them develop. They're going to stay in energy. They want to get your money, and they're going to get your money. But let's force them to do it quicker. A little bit about fuel. This is a huge topic right now. I am not paying $3.35 a gallon for gasoline. No way. Not me. A lot of you are, and what are you going to do about it? Are there options? Yes, there are options. You're hearing all these commercials. They're nationally campaigning about ethanol. What is ethanol? Keep it simple. It's moonshine. It's alcohol. Ethanol's a fancy name for pure alcohol. Ever heard of Everclear? Not the band, you kids? Pure alcohol. 200 proof, 100% alcohol. 130 octane. Burns cleaner. Non-toxic. You can drink it. They mix it in with a little bit of their gasoline. They're not going to let go altogether. GM, Ford, Mercedes. I could go on of all the cars that are certified to run on ethanol. My vehicle outside is running on ethanol right now, made from expired soda pop. All you need is sugar or starch to make alcohol. I can talk for hours on alcohol and how it's been running this nation for years. You can't get out of your bedroom or bathroom, and there's alcohol everywhere. Alcohol's not too bad, actually. It's a pretty decent fuel. It's not perfect, but it's a heck of a lot better than gasoline. Let's get to the bottom line. How about paying less than $2 a gallon? You want to talk about mileage? Does it get better or less or more power or less than? Less than $2 a gallon. And that's at a very little quantity. Well, what about the war? You want to keep fighting this war over there for, let's face it, it's why we're fighting it. We can make it here. My alcohol comes from Rancho Cucamonga. It's made from expired soda pop. I just refuse to participate. You can run it in your car. There's flex fuel vehicles. I'll give you the list. If you go to E85 fuel, you can see all the vehicles that can run on ethanol. I could talk about this for hours. I am out of time. I need to go. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, I'll answer them first and then on the panel. Is that right, Lillian? Okay. However you want to do it. Anyway, that's me. That's who I am. If there's anything we could do to help, please take advantage of these resources and use them. But take something home with you today and do something today.
I have a question. Doesn't ethanol come from corn?
Comes from a lot of things. Corn is one of the major stocks that ethanol comes from in this country, yes. In Brazil, with one of the largest producers of ethanol in the world, they make it from sugar cane. You can make it from, like I said, any sugar, any starch. From apples, oranges, any biological it can be made from. And to get back to your other question, smog, building walls. There's a term smog that the Europeans use, and they refer to it as waste. They're making products, they build composite walling materials made of garbage. They mix it up with, it uses a third less concrete, and they prefer, when you hear smog, they also refer to that as waste in Germany.
Oh, I see. Okay. But isn't corn being planted so much in this country that it's becoming a problem?
Good question. Excellent question. Do you know we subsidize farmers not to grow? We pay farmers not to grow. How dare us? We're paying them not to grow our fuel. So, do we have enough corn right now to supply our thirst? No. Does Brazil? Oh, yeah. To other countries? Yeah, there's plenty of resources that we can make fuel from. The whole world, not right now, but we can still grow it. We have a question way back in the... My home is in Zurich, Switzerland, and I pay over $5 a gallon for gas there. And in Italy, where I'm now building... building a little retirement self because I can't afford to live here anymore because energy is so expensive. Wait a second, I don't pay for energy. Oh, I can still live here, good. I pay over $7 a gallon in Sicily for fuel. Don't have to, but we all do. So take advantage of the appropriate fuels, not alternative fuels. These are appropriate.
I have a question. Do you know of any motorcycles or scooters that can use ethanol?
All of them.
Can you explain?
Ethanol, there are some idiosyncrasies with ethanol, and you have to be aware of them. I have, matter of fact, one of my partners drives a Yamaha, I think it's an RZ1, I think that's the model. We poured ethanol right into his motorcycle. It's not certified by the manufacturer run on it. But 5.7% of all your fuel right now in California has ethanol in it. The rest of the states have 10%. In Switzerland, it's over 20%. In Brazil, they have in excess of 40% alcohol mixed with their gasoline. The vehicle, all your cars that you drove in today are certified. All your gasoline-powered vehicles are certified for up to 10% alcohol in the fuel right now by the manufacturer. Some of them, which you might not know about, are certified for up to 85% ethanol. Like I said, there's a list, and I'll share that with you. So all your cars right now are certified at least 10%. But here in California, it's a very progressive state. We only use 5.7% ethanol. It's kind of a shame, but... Good question. Does anyone know what a BTU is? No. BTU is just a measurement of energy, British thermal unit. You old British people know about this. A measurement of energy. The question is, how much energy is there in alcohol versus gasoline? Well, the BTU in gasoline is less. It can be up to, some people say, up to 30% less than gasoline. However, the question is going to be, what is the gas mileage? Ethanol is 130 octane. Regular gas is 87 octane. Because it's an oxygenated fuel, it burns more efficiently. Although it's less energy content, the gasoline mileage in some vehicles is actually higher than gasoline. So no, you do not. That's actually not true. The new Saab coming out gets 40 more horsepower, and it gets 18% better gas mileage on ethanol than gasoline, although ethanol has a 30% less BTU content. I'm not a scientist. I don't understand it. All I know is it works.
Is E85 being used in California right now?
I'm sorry?
Is E85 being used in California right now?
This wonderful progressive state, I love this. There's one E85 station available to the public in California right now. It's RTC Fuels in San Diego. And if you want to drive all the way to San Diego, get your fuel, they're charging about $2.80 a gallon right now. So it's less than gasoline. And they are working on a temporary permit. They aren't even perfectly certified by the California Air Resource Board or AQMD because they haven't done environmental impact study reports to prove that alcohol is better. And there's so much going on about that. That's why I formed the little co-op here, so we can get the alcohol and we can share it amongst our members. Well, Jim Beam doesn't have enough kick to it. It's a little bit low on the proof, but anything over 160 octane will run in your car. 160 proof will work in your car. Not as well as 200. Yes.
Is it, if you have solar shingles, how about fires?
That's a great question, and we're back to solar. I have 1 minute, so this is probably my last question. Actually, the solar panels are flame retardant, so they are safer for your house than wood shingles. They will resist fire, I believe. Well, don't forget, some of them are crystalline, so they're glass. They exceed temperatures of 1,000, 1,500 degrees. So that's much safer for your roof. It's a good question. I've never been asked that before, but it's a great material to use for roofing. We have time for one more. Anyone else? Yeah.
Be able to burn?
E85 is a simple. You're going to hear all about this E85 stuff. What's this E85? 85% ethanol. 15% gasoline. They use this very confusing name, E85, so it confuses us. Certain vehicles are certified to run on E85 by the manufacturer under warranty. Chevy Suburban, Tahoe, Denali, Mercedes 320, Mercedes 230, Nissan 5.7 liter Titan. I could go on and on and on of all the vehicles that are certified. All the Ford Explorer, all these vehicles, and you're going to be more and more and more that are certified. Just because your car is not certified doesn't mean it won't run on ethanol. Mine is, don't tell anybody, mine's not certified. I've got 35,000 miles, and it's working just fine. That's all the time I have. I can talk individually about that later, but if there's anything else I can help you with, please come to my booth, get my number. I'll come to your house, your business. your government, your municipality, your church, and help you guys save energy. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lillian.
Thank you. Well, we will have maybe 2 or 3 minutes to ask any further questions of anybody on the panel, and then we're going to go out and see our exhibitors. Before we do that, I made a terrible mistake on the Solar Homes Tour. Now, we are organizing a Solar Homes Tour. We'll take you to 4 different homes that where they're doing all the good things that they recommend here. And it's going to be on June 10th, and it's written June 20th on your flyer, if this is in there. So please change it to the 10th, because the 20th isn't on a Saturday, so you couldn't get there anyway. You're welcome. This is in your flyer, in your bag, and we welcome you. And you can sign up for the Solar's Home Tour outside. It's totally free, and it's very interesting. Now you have a few minutes to ask questions of anybody. They have answered all our questions. Let's give them a hand. Oh, one question.
You said you'd formed a little co-op. Is that to what is that for?
Hello.
Come up here.
I formed a little fuel co-op, an ethanol co-op, where for a whopping $300 you can join. It will allow you up to 3 cars. And you're allowed a maximum of 5 cars, but you pay an additional $100 per car. So a total, a maximum 5, minimum 3 per co-op. And that's just the lifetime membership. We're right now, our current cost of fuel is under $2 a gallon, and we're distributing amongst our members. We're a nonprofit 501c7, which is a common interest group. And we will have our fueling vehicle located at different locations, and you'll receive a phone call or an email to let you know where the vehicle is, like Monday it might be at Kiwanis, or Tuesday it might be at Rotary Club, or Wednesday it might be here. But you receive the information, and just come and fill up, and then you pay for your gas as much as you like at a time. You want to prepay for 100 gallons and work that off, you can do that. So that's a little bit of the co-op, and it's called the Ethanol Co-op, and the numbers are at the booth. If you'd like to. As long as the tank can hold ethanol, you should be okay. There are some members who bring 55-gallon drums, which is considered a barrel. For those people who don't know, a barrel of oil that they talk about is 55 U.S. gallons. You can bring a barrel and fill that up if you would like, if you could bring it home. Another question is going to be, is it safe? Will the fire department allow it? It depends on your city. Check with your local fire marshal. Check with your fire professional. In my city, Hermosa, Manhattan, it is allowed to keep a 55-gallon drum of fuel in your garage. That's because of code, because of firewall. So you could do that. But check with your city first. I'm in Zurich. I'm in Hermosa. I'm all over the place. I travel the world. But the fuel will, like I said, will be distributed in the South Bay. Co-op number 1 is Manhattan, Hermosa, Redondo. Co-op number 2 is going to be the Palos Verdes, Torrance area. It will either be Hermosa, Manhattan, or Redondo. The vehicle will move around those 3 cities.
Portable vehicle.
Right, certain days you'll get a list that will say Monday it's going to be at the parking lot of your house, and Tuesday it's going to be at Brad's house, and or wherever it might be. Oh, when you run out of gas, just put gasoline in. You could just put gasoline in.
I'm afraid we ran out of time for questions, but I do want to say that there's 2 cars that are parked in front of some dumpster. And somebody can't have access to that dumpster. Could you check where your car is parked and if you're blocking somebody that's pretty irate about it, move the cars. I'm not sure. Yes? Near the driveway entrance. That's handicap parking, isn't it? Oh, okay. Well, right. Incidentally, this program has been taped, and if you'd like to get copies of the tape, see Luth Sutherland or sign up in that table on the left. So, Lou, raise your hand, Lou. If you'd like to hear more of this and give it to your friends or neighbors or relatives, get one from Lou, sign up for Lou, and he'll give you a tape of this program. Thank you very much for coming, and I hope you enjoy all the exhibitors.
You have been listening to a production by Upcycle Media. Thank you for listening. For more info or to be on the mailing list for future productions by Upcycle Media, send an email to Upcycle Media, upcyclemedia@yahoo.com. Thank you.